Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd
what?
Be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk. Good morning. This is Tech Talk. This is Michael Tech Talk Kassler coming at you Saturday morning. And got a great show set up for you. We will be, unfortunately, missing the inimitable Dave Sparky Saganaki. But to make up for that in some small way, we do have some other good stuff coming up. Of course, Jay Garman will be joining us in just a little while. He will have answers to last week's Geek Trivia. And then, of course, something new for us as well. And that'll be a good thing to hear. And right after that, I have got actually audio that we have recorded right from on the floor at the Oracle Open World Convention, which we just had this last week. I was out all last week, if you may or may not remember, at... San Francisco and Oracle's Open World Conference. My voice is still a little hoarse, I think, and I'm still just a little bit, a little tired out as well from the whole experience. It was a fantastic time. Given the opportunity to get out there was just an amazing thing, and really a great deal for me to get there. And I want to say, shout out thanks to Eloy Ontiveros, was the guy who really helped me out, making sure that we got in there as press and got the opportunity to meet the right people, including Justin, who you'll hear from in a little while. And definitely it's something I think we're going to put on the agenda for next year as well. Hopefully I can get out there each year and do that. So that's an exciting thing. And I'll tell you more about that as well in just a minute or two. We're treated there to some huge announcements and some really cool things going on and all that. So I'm excited for you to find out about all of that. And, of course, we will have our cool sites of the week this week. I've got some good ones as far as that goes. And I'm actually, too, going to answer a question that we had from someone earlier. I think it's important enough of a question to respond to. I want to mention to you too that now, of course, you can always catch our show on air here at 98.3, but you can also listen to us live on the internet by going to techtalk.wrlr.fm, and we've got a link there not only to listen live audio, but we have now gotten the Justin TV link and operation back up and running. And shouts out and thanks to the tech guys working here. We've got some really good guys working here now, better than me at getting things actually done around the studio. So fantastic stuff. And if you go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, you'll see a link there, or you can go straight to us, www.justin.tv/WRLR. And that's not just me. You can see there, of course, you can see anybody else that we've got on air at the time. There's cameras around the studio and all that. So it's cool stuff. Make sure and check that out. And of course, you can always catch our podcast either at techtalk.wrlr.fm, or you can go to iTunes. Just do a search in there under my last name, Kassler, or search WRLR. You'll see if anybody else has got some podcasts from the station as well. And I know Jesse J Street's got some, and there may be one or two others. One bit of news, non-tech related here, I wanted to bring up. Just popped up on my radar screen this morning, and I think... If you hadn't heard this yet, and probably if you're listening podcast, you'll have heard it already, but if you're listening on our terrestrial radio signal, you may not have heard that Paul Newman passed away a little bit earlier at the age of 83, and just wanted to mention that, and if you hadn't heard it, to take a quick look. BBC News has got a really nice rundown and a breakdown of his life, and you can also, of course, find it on just about any major news outlet at this point. I won't go through the many fantastic movies and awards. He won 3 Oscars in his lifespan, his career span more than 50 years. You know, if you talk about iconic actors, people who truly are, you know, icons in the movie industry, certainly the name Paul Newman comes up always. So just wanted to drop that and let you know that. And that's about it. Let's get into some actual tech news. Now, like I said, I just got back from Oracle Open World, so I'm all geeked up about all the Oracle stuff that I ran into there, and I got to tell you a little bit anyways about what the big news was at Oracle Open World. Was, you know, as, of course, anytime you go to one of these huge conventions, this was enormous. 43,000 people were attending this event in one form or another. And you've got keynotes that come up all the time. And the big keynotes that were coming here were HP, Intel, and then, of course, Mr. Ellison himself, Larry Ellison, owner of Oracle, coming on and giving his final keynote speech. And there was a lot of buzz in the air about what is he going to unveil at his keynote speech. What is going to be released, brought out, demonstrated, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I was trying to guess. I was twittering frantically thinking, boy, what is it that he's going to come out with? And I finally, at one point shortly before he did, I made a stab. I was a little off. I was thinking it was something related to cloud computing, but it was actually my second guess, which was an Oracle appliance. He actually came out with something that's called an exabyte database server, database machine. And what this does is it puts the logic and the processing that goes into dealing with large data systems, large databases built, of course, on Oracle, into the hands or into the close proximity of where that data actually resides. It's a really neat concept. It's, I think, something that's going to be necessary actually to enable cloud computing in a lot of ways, and also will allow for some extreme-sized data systems to operate in an external environment, which they can't right now. So it's something that's going to enable and facilitate extremely large data systems, the ones that we're seeing all across the board. Data and the data collection process has become something which, of course, is well known, is just an enormous thing that has to be managed. And what winds up happening when you get to a certain level of capacity and the amount of records that you have and the amount of information and the amount of disk space that is actually being kept in a system, you run into a problem in that in order to retrieve that information, your queries, your requests, your access to that information is slowed down either by the processing speed of the equipment or by the bandwidth that you have available to pass information back and forth. And what the exabyte server does is it kind of does two things. This is my take on it. You can find a lot of detailed technical, deep technical information, of course, on the web right now. But my take on it is essentially what it's doing is it's grabbing, it's applying the same lessons that we learned with graphic processors. And when you look at the way that a PlayStation 3 performs versus having having the same thing running on your PC, what you find is, of course, the PlayStation way outperforms the PC as far as frames per second, as far as your graphics levels goes, unless your PC has got one of these graphic processing cards, very similar to the ones that the PlayStation 3 would have into it, or any of the other major ones, or the Xbox 360s.
And that's because they're designed specifically and appropriately for implementing and using the graphics hardware in the way that it should be. It's not relying upon CPU. It's not relying upon cycles. It's actually processing the information on a chip designed specifically and solely for it. And that's one thing that this exabyte server seems to be doing. And the second thing that it's doing is it's making that operation occur not on the database server or grid, so to speak, but actually on the storage server, on the storage grid, right next to where the data is, right with the data. So when a query is created and processed, it's not actually going out and saying, okay, now shoot over these lines, whether those be Cat5, cabled, copper, whatever it is that you're fiber, whatever it is that you're going to from the database operation to the storage operation to the hard drives, but it's actually saying, here's the information that I need. Now go get it for me. You've got the information being requested right there, and then it pops the results back to the database server, which then can use it to either populate a table, a screen, or whatever it needs to do for you, and goes from there. So that was the big news. Now, why is this important? This is not important to somebody who's got a database that's 500 meg large. It's not important to someone whose database is 250 gig large. No, we're talking about this is important to people and companies that have databases that are measured in the terabytes and the petabytes. And who are people that have data systems like that? Financial institutions. You've got companies like, of course, Google and Yahoo, the Google Analytics stuff, all these things with these constantly active data systems, huge amounts of data. And of course, then my thinking is, what's the next level of that is going to be those people that are providing cloud computing. And computing in the cloud is basically offering the service of using the data systems. Now, if you've got a setup like that, you could be creating data systems in the cloud that are several terabyte and supplying many, many, many people with smaller databases, but you can't do that effectively if the performance is going to be so shoddy because of these issues, which it seems that the exabyte database machine will take care of. And the database machine, to give you a clue as to the size of it too, it's huge. They brought one up, of course, behind Larry while he was speaking, in a very dramatic, intense moment. And it's gigantic. It's over 6 feet tall. It's black with a red Oracle label. It's created in association with HP. And HP has been... HP and Oracle have been very successful in keeping this kind of under wraps for several years that this was going on. Intel is also wrapped up into the whole deal, too. It's all, of course, because it's provided by HP. HP relies upon the Intel processors. So this thing is Intel tech. It's HP manufacturer and process, and then it's Oracle software and data systems. And it's just a really neat synchronicity and congruency of equipment, hardware, software, intelligent thought, and just a really neat thing. At any rate, I am going to, because I'm here by myself, at least for the moment, I'm actually going to kick us off into a few of our clips and bits and things like that, and see if I can bring up Jay Garman in just a moment. So we'll do that, and I will be back at you in, like I said, just a minute or two. So stay tight, listen to the spots and promos. I hopefully won't overburden you with it, and we will be right back talking to Jay Garman about geek trivia, and then immediately after that, we will actually hear from on the floor at Oracle Open World from one of the top guys with OTN, the Oracle Tech Network. So you want to stay tuned for that. We'll be back at you in just a moment.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
This is Richie, your own personal big-time DJ. You're listening to WRLR 98.3 LP FM, Round Lake Heights, Illinois. We're the greatest station.
Listening pleasure. midnight till 2 a.m. and then 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. every Wednesday, followed by After Speak, only on WRLR 98.3 LPFM, LA Heights, Illinois.
Paraphernalia, salon and spa. We specialize in color and correction, razor cuts and facials, manicure, pedicures, and nail enhancement services. Paraphernalia Salon and Spa, 935 Main Street in Antioch. Their phone number is 847-395-0192.
Wow, that Metal Mayhem promo there, it's scaring me. I don't know if I want, it's Carolyn and Val. They've got something going on there. I don't know. you can catch them, of course, right here on WRLR, also through the live stream, which we've got up, or through now Justin TV. You can see your favorite DJs on there. Let's give our good friend Jay a call here. See if we can get through to him.
Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Garmin.
Hi. Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Well, it's only fella today. Dave is off on far more important business than hanging around and talking to us. So
that could be almost anything.
Well, it's true. Really, I think he just shows up when he literally has absolutely nothing else to do, and then it doesn't seem so bad. But we'll miss him anyways. But we're happy to have you on with us, and certainly at least keeping me on my toes and making sure that we keep to some level of stability with the system. So
I'll do my best. I'm not known for creating stability in general, but for you, I'll make an effort.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much, which I definitely need. I was just talking about how I've returned from my 4-day trip in San Francisco and just had a fantastic time. I was there with Oracle Open World Conference, and so it was just it was a blast. They had this enormous party Wednesday night, where they literally rented an island, Treasure Island, which you can get to on the Bay Bridge, and filled it with carnival rides, free food. There was four bands. They had Alan Jackson, who I'd never heard of, but somebody told me he's a very famous country guy. Seal, UB40, and Elvis Costello. And it was impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I should have invented a database. I would have been able to rent islands a few years later.
Yeah, yeah. Larry looked very, very relaxed and tan. So I don't think the money's been a difficult thing for him to deal with. He threw a party for 40,000 people is what it comes down to. They had over 40,000 attendees there, and I think most of them made it over to Treasure Island. So.
And who knew that computer nerds were also party guys? It's just, it goes against the mainstream media perception, which proves the media is not paying attention.
I got to say, I was a little bit, I'm sitting there in the crowd. I was there with this other guy, Mike Mudge, who's out in Washington State, which I got to throw out a quick shout out to Michael. Michael was my date. He was my mandate for the trip there. We kind of met up at one of the evening bus rides, because I was way the heck out in near San Mateo, and Michael's a great guy, and we just kind of were like, you know what, we're both here at loose ends, our wives are off, could not come and join us, and let's hang out. Michael was a fantastic mandate, and we went out, we were there, and I was just astonished by the fact that you've got Seal, and the crowd was fairly built up for Seal, but then Elvis Costello came out, and at least in my opinion, Elvis Costello is far more the musician and just far more exciting of a show to see, and people just kind of emptied out after about 10:30, and I was commenting to Mike, I said, it's just the wrong crowd for this. This is not the right crowd for good music, apparently.
Apparently not. If they'd seen Elvis's wife, they probably would have stuck around. If you ever laid eyes on Diana Krall, that would have been a much larger crowd for that.
Yeah, and Elvis is not he's a lot of things, but attractive man is not words that I would normally associate with him.
No, there's very few guys in the entertainment industry that could actually say Austin Powers is more attractive than, and Elvis would probably follow into that category.
Yeah, and there is a bit of similarity right there with him too, and the Austin Powers thing. I can see that, and
especially in the teeth area, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know what though? Compared to the rest of his band, he looks pretty good. So.
That's probably part of the basis of their being hired.
You may be right.
Must be talented and uglier than me.
Well, and by the end of the show, by the end of Elvis's set, I mean, you could literally have gone right up to the stage. They had this huge stadium where you could have fit, I don't know how many thousands of people. And by 11 o'clock or so, you know, people were out of there, and I thought Elvis, and this just, you know, goes to his professionalism, I thought Elvis was going to take a look around and say, oh, forget about this, you know, everyone, they got all these, you know, stick in the mud standing around, nodding their heads, and he is just playing his heart out, and the band is just cooking, and everything is just coming together, and he's just got this constant set. You know, it's not one of these where he plays a song, takes a few minutes off, chats to the crowd. No, just constant effort, constant music, a wall of sound, and just kept it up and kept it going for the full set until I think about 12:30 or something. Just amazing. So I, you know, something not to be missed. I'm definitely going to try and make it out there next year. No doubt about it.
Well, I'll have to take up database programming and see if I can make it out there too, if they're going to have that level of musical act.
or do what I did, which is get a try to parlay your blog into press credentials, and then you get a free at least free entree to the show. Of course, you got to pay for the hotel and everything on your own, but at least that'll save you a couple grand, actually, getting it that way.
That's not a bad idea. I should totally abuse my position for that sort of entertainment.
Definitely. You know what? What good is power if you don't abuse it once in a while? So, hey, you know,
spoken like a true tyrant.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of power, we should probably talk about what our geek trivia question was last week, and see if we can get an answer for that and come up with a new one for this week too.
All right. The question was, what was the original intended purpose for Play-Doh? Because it was not invented, marketed, or designed as a toy, and it wasn't even called Play-Doh when it first came out. The answer is a wallpaper cleaner, believe it or not. It was written by a couple of guys named Noah and Joseph McVicker in the early 1950s in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they manufactured it as a product called Cut-All, K-U-T-O-L. And basically, that was the 50s were sort of the entree of serious vinyl wallpaper. It was also a period of serious chain smoking. So you would have just all kinds of smoke stains, also cooking with lard in unvented kitchens and so on. So you would just basically have all kinds of stains on your wallpaper. And the whole point of Cut-All was to basically you would take it and just smear it on the wallpaper and peel it off like you do with Silly Putty the Sunday Funnies. And it would just take all that stuff off.
Oh, wow. So the original color was white, I take it,
was
then?
Was pure white. In fact, the original color of Play-Doh as Play-Doh was white. It only came in white. And not surprisingly, kind of a doughy, viscous, strange-smelling substance you smear on your walls to take off stains didn't sell very well.
Yeah.
So, but they did notice it made a pretty cool toy. So they, in 1956, they started getting it into department stores. And in 1957, they managed to get commercial time on the Captain Kangaroo show. And from that point forward, Play-Doh was just set as a toy.
Yes. The power of Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah. What I found really interesting among all of this is that the infamous Play-Doh smell is actually an improvement on the original Cut-All smell. Because Cut-All smelled worse than Play-Doh does, and so they added artificial almond scent to make it smell less bad, and that's how you get the Play-Doh smell.
Really?
And I'm pretty sure that's still part of what gives Play-Doh its aroma is artificial almond flavoring.
Yeah, and it is quite tasty. So
and great for your carpet.
Yeah, now interesting. I did not, and I wonder why almond. Why they would choose almond? You would think, you know, vanilla or something stronger might be a better choice. But well, you know, and there it is. That I would not have guessed. Plato's original intended purpose was as wallpaper cleaner,
yes,
and not as a tasty treat for children. So, what do you got for us for next week? Oh, which I should mention that we did not actually receive response again this week. You know, though, my prize basket is getting rather slim. So I'm thinking what I'm going to do is, for people that are listening, you're listening to the podcast and so on, I think we've got enough listeners now that I don't need to actually put the trivia question in the newsletter. I'm going to put the answers in, but if you want to hear the trivia question, you're going to have to listen to the podcast. And that might cut down the number of, I think we get some, surfing answers, people that aren't actual listeners to the show. They just kind of surf by and, drive by answer. They see the question and they wiki it or Google it and send off the answer, but haven't actually paid attention to the show.
Hey. So. Your prize basket, anything that gets them listening to your show, I'm fine with.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Well, hey, now what do you got for us for next week then?
Well, I thought it'd be timely because we're dealing with the government spending a lot of money very soon on a potential $700 billion buyout to do some government spending trivia. Mm-hmm. And as a tech guy, you've probably heard the old wives' tale about when the Russians first sent people into orbit, and about the same time NASA started sending people into orbit, they both needed something to write with. And so NASA spent millions of dollars developing a pen that would work in zero gravity, and the Russians just sent a pencil.
Yes, yes, yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah.
at all. There's so many things wrong with that old wives' tale. I'll go into them all next week. But the most important thing is that NASA did not spend millions of dollars on pens that could write in zero gravity. They did send pens into space that could write in zero gravity and that were designed to do so, but they bought them much, much cheaper than that. So what did NASA spend on the original lot of space pens?
Not on just one, but on the actual entire lot.
On the entire lot. In fact, I can probably tell you exactly how many they got. Let's see. I can't. I don't have that in my notes. But it is far less than several million dollars. And they didn't – also, I will give this additional clue so we have a prize winner. NASA didn't make them. They didn't invent them. They just bought them off the shelf. Somebody else had taken it onto themselves to build zero-gravity space pens. And NASA just found these people and bought pens off them.
Ah, okay. And I will accept the whatever the closest answer is. So if you're just listening, we of course prefer it if people don't wiki and Google these things. Just take a stab at it. Send off what you like, and we'll throw you in the bin. Like I said, we're getting light on the number of prizes we got in the basket. So I gotta be a little more careful about what I pick out of there. Well, that is a very good one, because I know I think most people have heard about the pen versus pencil thing, and I think by now I think most people too have heard that that is not true. So it'll be interesting to hear more about that next week when we answer this question too. I'm actually interested to hear more about the true story behind that and what happened with it.
Well, I will be glad to illuminate based on my information.
Very cool. Oh, and I want to say thank you. I noticed that you've started actually blogging again to The Written Weird, and people can find that at The Written Weird, or no, just WrittenWeird. You know what? I'm gonna pull it up. Or why don't you tell me exactly what it is?
So WrittenWeird.blogspot.com. It's a good old-fashioned blogger blog, so it's at WrittenWeird.blogspot.com.
There we go.
And having been scolded on, you know, nationally prominent internet radio, I felt obligated to get that. And now that I have power back in my house, it's much more likely to happen.
Well, so. Yeah, there is the, it's probably not as enjoyable trying to do that from Panera Bread. And
no. Especially given the kind of things I research. You get funny looks.
Well, you know, you need to start doing some of those videos from Panera. I think that would have been good. Have the people walking behind you and like, what is this guy talking about and why is he so angry?
There is that possibility. I've taken a momentary break because I'm switching days on food rants, which I'll be now the Monday guy as opposed to the Friday guy.
Ah, okay. Okay. Very cool. And where can people find that, that link, your food rant link?
Food-rants.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, hey, Jay, I'm going to close us out, but thank you, as always, for coming and joining us. And people can find you on the websites we just mentioned, and we'll look to talk to you next week and hear more about space pens.
All right. Take it easy, buddy.
Space. Take care. Have a great week. Bye. And as always, that was Jay Garman, nay of Tech Republic, now of... of course, I'm like I said, I'm at loose ends. Dave's not here. I'm trying to remember what his ViewPal. He's with an online video startup down there in Louisville, Kentucky, and they are taking over the world of video, of specially designed, custom designed video. He does a lot of scripting and food rants, which is a lot of fun to watch. So do check those out and see what's going on with that. I'm going to switch over now. We've got just about the right amount of time to listen to Justin Castellan. I'm going to let him introduce himself. Now, I'm going to apologize up front a little bit for the audio quality. It's not fantastic. I've done as much as I can to clear it up. I did have a portable digital audio recorder with me, an Olympus DS3. Excellent quality. Problem was the areas we were recording in were, a little bit of ambient noise. But we've done what we could. Definitely, it's worth listening to what he has to say. So weed through it, and I'll try to balance the audio as we play it as well. And we'll be right back at you. This is going to, you're going to want to hear this. And when we get done, we will go right into our cool sites of the week. So I'll talk to you live in just a little bit. You are listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 FM.
So my name is Justin Castellan. I'm a senior director at Oracle. I look after what's called the Global Developer Initiative, which is our set of programs that are designed to promote developer adoption of our products and the technologies we support. One of the main aspects of that initiative is what we call the Oracle Technology Network, which is it's really the world's largest community of developers, admins, and architects who work with Oracle products in conjunction with open source technologies or other standards that we might support.
When you say largest community, do you have an idea, ballpark, of the number of people we're talking about?
So we have, at this point, well over 5 million registrations. There's not a one-to-one correlation between registrations and people.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big number regardless of how you cut it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also an incredibly diverse community because, Oracle is such a large footprint in the developer community that you're really talking about, people who are working with .NET or with Java or with database application development, PHP and Ruby. It's an extremely wide range and diverse set of people. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting challenge.
Yeah, yeah. How do you even begin trying to support that type of diversity in that arrangement?
Well, you need a lot of help from the community, and that's what OTN is all about. It's all about creating community around these areas. So what we try to do is encourage interaction among people who are OTN members, and to give them tools and things and content and things that sort of serve as the basis of discussion and interaction. And what happens is when that interaction occurs on a very large scale, you see leaders start to emerge in the community. And then those people are, people that we rely on to be influencers in their respective communities, whether it's geographical or it's associated with a particular technology area.
Yeah. Now, what kind of things have you been doing recently, especially with Open World coming up and all that? We've been hearing a lot about OTN and Mix and all this, the kind of the social networking aspect of stuff coming to the fore.
So probably the most exciting thing recently is Oracle Mix. It's mix.oracle.com. So this is essentially a Oracle-specific social network, I think would be the best way to put it, where people who are within the Oracle ecosystem, whether they're employees or non-employees, and the non-employees would include customers and partners and students, people who are just interested in Oracle, and it's a place for them to create networks, to propose ideas to Oracle. You might have noticed that we have you know, the ideas tab there, which allows people to send us ideas about products or services.
Yep. Yep.
There are, of course, you know, discussions and comments supported across everything there. And you can also create your own group or join somebody else's group and sort of use that group as a, you know, a mini community about whatever your respective interests might be. So, you know, we found that the developer community, they're frequent early adopters of these kinds of technologies, you know, whether it's social networking, things like Oracle Mix, things like Twitter. You know, we really use those tools a lot to, you know, as I described before, to encourage interaction. It's a lot easier to do that these days with all these new social media tools that are out there.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and, you know, I can tell people from experience that as soon as you join up, there'll be networks that are going to be either of interest or, you know, groups that'll be either of interest or you'll be invited to that'll,
yeah,
that'll get you involved right away.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's really cool about Mix is that it's self-organizing. So instead of a, like, you know, traditional discussion forums environment, which we also have a gigantic community in discussion forums, you know, that's organized by Oracle, right? So we decide what the forums are going to be called and how they're going to be organized, you know, based on our product taxonomy or what have you. But on Mix, that's turned on its head. It's a much more Web 2.0 oriented view where people self-organize and create groups around whatever interests they have. So we're seeing groups created around things, you know, around niches or micro communities that we never even thought existed.
Yep.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, in some ways it almost harks back to the old Usenet days, and you know, you can throw a question out into the sea, and chances are you're going to get some pretty decent,
yeah,
answers back.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and also too with the social networking and instant messaging, I know one, of course, anecdotal story that comes up that was a big kind of splash was the guy trapped in the elevator, and
it was a she. Yeah.
Oh, it was a she.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
she
was a she. Yeah, in fact, I talked to her last night about it. I mean, it was an incredible story.
Did she get out?
She did get out.
That's good.
After an hour and a half.
Oh, wow, wow. And just to back it up, is it, she actually sent her message directly to Oracle Mix, was it?
She did, yes. She had. She was stuck on an elevator. She had cell service, fortunately for her. She was able to post an idea on Oracle Mix, the idea being, get me out of this elevator. And as a result of that idea, she was rescued.
She was able to get
so
out.
So now she's actually created a group on Mix called, I think it's called Stuck on an Elevator, which has various members. So,
yep.
Pretty funny story.
Yep, yep. Of course, you know, the obvious question is, if you've got cell service, why are you posting to Oracle Mix as opposed to calling the hotel?
Good question.
But
it worked for her.
Be that as it may, it did work. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, of course, one question, too, is, you know, we're here, we're at Oracle, we're at Open World and everything Oracle. What technology exactly is behind some of the things that you're doing with OTN and some of the things that are happening with Mix?
Well, on the forum side, for example, you know, we use a product called Jives Forums, which is made by Jives Software, which is an OEM partner of Oracle's. And we've been running on that platform for, you know, since the forum started, so a good 6 or 7 years. Oracle Mix is an example, actually, of JRuby on Rails. I think it's the first commercial deployment of a JRuby on Rails application, and that runs on Oracle Database on the Oracle infrastructure stack. And OTN, of course, runs on Oracle Portal. I think those are, you know, the primary examples.
Yeah. One thing I know that I've been hearing a lot about and that there have been some exciting changes to is related to cloud computing, Amazon,
yeah,
your relationship with Amazon.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit more about that,
yeah,
and what's happening with it?
So that's really exciting, I think, in the developer community. In fact, of all the announcements that I've seen this week, I mean, I'm sort of paying attention to that specific community. In that community, that's been the biggest news by far, from what I can tell. So,
yeah.
So Oracle is now certifying and licensing its products, its technology products, on Amazon Web Services. So if you have an existing Oracle database license, for example, you can move that license to Amazon as your deployment environment, or you can get a new license. So whereas in the past, if you were, for example, running, you know, Oracle database on the cloud, and you had a problem, and if you called Oracle support, you wouldn't get any help. Before the announcement,
yep.
After the announcement, you do. So you can call Oracle support for those issues.
And there's people that are on hand that are very familiar with the AWS and with Amazon,
right.
how the systems are being popped up. And you
right.
can populate new databases on the fly, pretty much, right?
Almost the other part of it is that not only is that, what I just described, but we're also providing the images, the virtual images that are required to run on Amazon. So, you could roll your own if you want. I think people have already done that. But we're actually providing pre-built images now. So if you're a developer and you're interested in, learning about Oracle Database, Oracle JDeveloper, it's really easy. You can get set up and get in a, Oracle environment set up and working, literally within minutes. You don't have to worry about hardware or, downloading something and installing and configuring it. It's all pre-baked.
Now I notice a lot of the chatter about it is really kind of focusing, like you mentioned, on developers, on people that are trying out new things, maybe getting their feet wet with some new ideas that they have about it. Is there going to be a time when you can run your enterprise systems and organization off of a cloud environment like AWS?
Well, I think that, it's a question for, it depends on the organization. I think there certainly are organizations out there that probably, smaller businesses may perhaps that would feel comfortable doing that. Larger companies or enterprises, I think, have been much more reluctant to do that up until now. With this particular announcement, I would think probably they will be a little more comfortable with the idea. But it all depends. It depends on the application. It depends on what its purpose is.
Yeah.
There's not I think a single answer to that question. It really just depends on what your particular needs are.
Yeah. With the there was the highly publicized AWS outage that happened. Was it several months ago? I guess now. But,
right.
But yeah, it makes it tougher to to want to support that, I guess, or to feel comfortable in a very large organization.
Yeah. Again, it all depends on the application. If it's a very business critical application, I would think a lot of organizations would think twice about deploying to the cloud. If it's not so business critical, then it's not as much of a concern. It all depends on what your requirements are. It's just one more option.
And one of the things, of course, that would be not necessarily 5 nines critical uptime situation is backups. And I think that's one of the things that also is being picked up.
Yeah, exactly. So you can actually, move your offsite backup. What would perhaps have been sent to an offsite storage service, for example, you can now use the cloud for that. You can use Amazon storage service for that purpose. And there's actually a module you can get with the Oracle Secure Backup product that allows you to do that, to move or stream your backups to the cloud in a transparent way. So you can use all your existing scripts, no problem. It just works seamlessly.
Wow.
That could be a very attractive option for some companies that, might have been using tape, for example.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it's not something that needs to be, there immediately all the time. So, yeah, it's an interesting option.
Yep. And there'll be same level of support, I would assume, for that as for the other
also
the other
supported,
areas.
Yeah.
So, and just out of curiosity, how are they managing the cost of that? Is it going to be a strictly cost per byte, or is it is it related to?
Yeah, that's a better question for Amazon. I actually don't know.
Okay. I was curious how that would work.
Yeah, there certainly would be storage costs incurred. I would think it would be whatever it is, certainly competitive with the other option. But I don't have the answer to that off the top of my head.
That's all right. That's all right. So what other kind of big and exciting things has OTN been involved with specifically around the open world time?
I think another thing that's been really exciting is the UnConference. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the Oracle Open World UnConference.
I haven't stopped up in there yet. I keep hearing a lot about it. It's one of the things on my agenda to do today.
Really cool. And this is the second year we've done this. In fact, I think when we did this last year, this was the first major corporate conference or trade show or whatever you want to call it to include an UnConference as part of the agenda. I think that's true. So that's really cool. So instead of having a traditional Oracle Open World experience where you look at an agenda that's been pre-selected for you and you can decide what you want to do, with the UnConference, you can present on whatever subject you want. So we're providing essentially a blank agenda with and rooms and projectors and chairs and people, because you're at a gigantic conference, right? So all you have to do is propose a session, put it up on the board, and then see who shows up.
With, literally with sticky notes.
With right? sticky notes.
You're putting it right up on there. And
exactly. Well, I mean, to be fair, we are being a little green about it because you could sign up in advance via a wiki.
Okay.
So plenty of people did that. We did hold one room back for on-site signups to reduce the sticky wastage
yeah,
for
yeah.
being conscious about the green issues. But, it's really cool. I mean, if you go up there and take a look at the board, you'll see all manner of topics, you know, spanning, you know, the full range of things that people are interested in regards to Oracle.
Now, are you vetting any of it? Is there anybody standing there and saying, you know what, we really don't want to hear somebody tell us their opinion about Carville and Madeline?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, the thing is, well, first of all, the community votes with its feet, you know, so even if you were foolish enough to propose such a thing, probably nobody would show up, right? So what's the point? Number two, a related thing is that, you know, what we found in the developer community, and it's true for all communities, is that a passionate community is self-policing. So typically when you have, you know, outliers or, you know, renegades within the community, they're sort of shouted down by other people in the community. Because obviously, you know, people get out of the community what's put into it. If it becomes something that's, you know, if somebody takes advantage of it, I guess is the best way to put it, other people in the community will literally take it personally.
Yep.
So, you know, we actually don't have to do a whole lot of oversight. And, you know, if we did, it would be undesirable, I think, because you don't want to be too heavily involved in a community if you wanted to grow organically.
Yep. I mean, you know, vis-a-vis Apple and their the online store and the heat they're getting for doing that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're in there all the time answering every question, shouting down every controversy, you know, that's not a community.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. How is the size of this conference or this year compared to last year and in previous years in general? And how have you had to retool or rescale or, you know, manage the scheduling and the things that are going on with the communities?
So, I'm not on the events team, so I can't speak on a macro level. You know, I can just talk about things that I'm involved in. I mean, obviously the conference is getting bigger and bigger every year for obvious reasons. So as the conference gets bigger, you got to find ways to help make people feel like they're having a personal experience. So the unconference is one way to do that, right? You know, the other way to do that is, you know, every year we have what we call the OTN Lounge, which is an area where people who are OTN members or even who are not members can come in and, you know, sit down with their laptops and kind of, you know, detox from the information overload.
Yep.
You know, we give them espresso in the morning and energy drinks in the afternoon and beer at the end of the day. We have, you know, Oracle Aces, who are our customer evangelists, sort of sitting in throughout the day to answer people's questions. You know, we do raffles. And then we, you know, the other thing we like to do, of course, is give away stuff. So, you know, we give away T-shirts, we give away software, DVDs. Again, you know, we'd like to provide just a nice, safe, an environment where people feel like they belong, because it's, you know, a huge conference. It's very easy to feel like you don't belong or that, you know, you're kind of lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, we work really hard to do that.
Yeah, that's true. It's huge now. And even though I know a number of people that are here, unless we actually consciously and specifically say, I'm going to meet you at the merry-go-round at 2, you know, it just doesn't happen. So, connecting with people can be a really tough thing.
Yeah.
Are you involved with the green side of things? I know green is just a huge, huge deal at OOW this year.
Yeah, not directly. I probably know about as much about it as you, to be honest. I'm not directly involved in that, but I think it's pretty cool. I heard about the bicycles where you can, you know, recharge your laptop. I think that's really cool.
Yep. That was kind of a neat idea.
I haven't seen that yet, but I love that idea.
Like I said, I didn't really have a full, script or a gender thing to run down. Is there other stuff that we haven't touched on that you want to make sure we talk about?
I don't know. I guess the only other thing I'd mention is that, you know, when we do have the conference, not only are we focused on, you know, providing a great experience during the conference, but for people who aren't at the conference, we try to really tie together all the threads that are out there, whether it's people who are blogging or Twittering or taking pictures, posting video.
Yeah.
You know, not only are we and, you know, I specifically and podcasting, I mean, not only am I producing such content, but I also try to bring it together and kind of aggregate it in one place where people can, you know, get a sense who aren't here of what's happening.
What's happening. And where, yeah. And where is that place?
What, we have a page on OTN where there are, you know, various links to things like, you know, we have an Oracle Open World group on Flickr. There's an official Oracle Open World tag for whatever content you might be producing in these communities. We're doing a search across the Twitter sphere for anything that's tagged appropriately about Open World. There's YouTube video. We're recording podcasts on site. So you can see links to all that stuff, from one place on OTN.
And people who want to find that, it's at otn.oracle.
Yeah, if you go to otn.oracle.com and look at the top link on the homepage, that'll take you right there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. Great. And that'll be available, of course, even after the show.
Yes.
And people can go back and review things that happened.
Absolutely.
So, so, and the tag, if people want to look for it themselves, is OOW08.
Well, yeah, actually for
Twitter.
Exactly right. Boy, you're educated. You're right. For Twitter, it's OOW08, and everything else, it's OpenWorld08.
OpenWorld08.
So it's kind of cumbersome to have two different tags. I think, you know, next year we'll try to stick with one.
Yeah, which, of course, with the 140-character limit, I'm sure that people having to type out OpenWorld08 and it's cutting into their content quite a bit.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we're trying to avoid OOW, you know, for branding purposes, because, you know, like I like to say, people who aren't familiar with Oracle think that's something you say when you stub your toe.
Oh, yeah, so, I didn't think about that.
That's very well recognized within Oracle, or people who know Oracle. But, of course, you know, we need to go up beyond that core of people.
Yep.
So that was the impetus behind the self-explanatory tag, which was I was flamed about on Twitter.
Excellent. Yeah, I can imagine. I can well imagine. And I've been trying to tag stuff that I've written up in my Twitter with that as well. And I think I have seen people that aren't following me pick up and retweet some of my stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so obviously it's working, you know, that connectivity is working.
Right.
So that's all good stuff. And yeah, like you said, there's live videos integrated with Quik, right? Q-I-K.
Right. Yeah. So that's the other thing. Thanks for reminding me. So there are people out there. Well, there's an event on Quik.com, as you know, which is this idea. It's basically a group whereby if you're a Quik member and you create video from your phone and you tag it,
For people that don't know, I should mention, in case we do use this audio online, that Quik is a piece of software you can put into your mobile phone, which allows you to actually take video, and it'll be uploaded live to the net and be available on there. Probably the most famous usage of it right now is by Robert Scoble, who does a lot of his interviews with this live Quik video kind of stuff going
right
on. So, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, so there's an Oracle Open World event at Quik.com, so people can contribute video from the event. And we are also sort of aggregating that video at a blog at blogs.oracle.com/. What is the? I'm trying to remember the URL. Video blog. blogs.oracle.com/video blog. And you can also see all the video that's going to that event there. And subscribe to it if you like. Subscribe to the RSS or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And there's because it is such a varied group of people. It is a really varied set of video, and you get people standing in line and getting their badges to actual live some of the sessions and the keynotes and things like that. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on.
Exactly. That. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah. And of course, people that miss being here, but really wanted to get in on some of those sessions, there's always the possibility that they can purchase also the and what is it called, the package that you can get,
it's the on-demand package.
The on-demand, on-demand package too. So obviously that's a better way to get the information if as opposed to rifling through the Quik archives too.
Exactly. If you want the official story, that's where you go.
That's the way to go. And it's not too badly priced either for what you get, for sure. Is there anything that we should be looking for during the course of the year? I mean, a lot of activity happens here, of course, with Open World, but when Open World's not happening and all that, what reason do people go to OTM? What reason do people still get involved with Mix and all that?
Well, I mean, if you're a developer and you want access to Oracle software via with a developer license, so in other words, it's free until you deploy it, deploy your application, then OTM is the place for you to go, because that's where you can. You can literally download any Oracle technology product that you can think of and use it on a developer trial forever, theoretically. And of course, as I mentioned before, huge discussion forum community. So there's discussion forums dedicated to pretty much any Oracle product you can think of. That community has well over 700,000 members at this point, and 2.5 million messages. So incredibly interactive. We also have a wiki, wiki.oracle.com. That's relatively new. It's about a year old. So that's, I think, going to become an increasingly popular way for people to share content and to collaboratively create content around Oracle. And then, we have the Oracle employee blogging service at blogs.oracle.com. So if you're an Oracle employee, you have access to a blogging account. And, we're seeing an increasing number of employees taking advantage of that.
And those blogs are open to the public as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah, anybody can comment on them. Yeah.
So which is, excellent. Yeah, I think there's tremendous resources and information there. I know I didn't realize it until I was here, especially even the ability to download all the software and use it and play with it and experiment with
yes.
it is amazing. Will that free licensing also be available through the cloud, through the Amazon AWS piece, or will they are they going to try and restrict usage to?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure if the developer license would be altered or need to be altered. I'm actually not sure about that. I do know that one of the products that is there is Oracle Database Express Edition, which is a free product anyway. So, if you want access to a free version of Oracle Database, there is one there. But that's actually a good question. I don't know the answer.
Okay. Yeah,
I would think so.
I realize I'm getting out of your school.
Yeah.
Although you sound like you're incredibly busy.
Yeah.
A lot of things happening.
Listen to that. Yeah.
And that was my conversation with Justin Castellan at the Oracle Open World 2008, and just a great conversation we had with him. I had some fantastic talks with a number of people. I'm going to be bringing those to you over the next couple of weeks. Also with some companies out there that I wouldn't normally have a chance to run into, like Fortinet and Quest Software and things like that. So over the next few weeks, I'll be giving you more and more information about the things that we did at Oracle Open World 2008. Just really cool stuff. And of course, right now, oh my gosh, we're forgetting. That's right, it is time for our cool sights of the week. And how could I possibly forget about that? We couldn't forget about that. Last week, of course, we had just some fantastic cool sights of the week brought to us by Earlesque, I should say. It looks like burlesque without the B. And I don't have that chance this week. I got to come up with my own again, let's see. We've got my top cool sight of the week this week. I'm just going to give you one because we're cutting close on the time here. Is a really neat thing. It's a project of Guy Kawasaki's, and it's called Alltop. And if you go to alltop.com, what this is a really neat way for you to get your information, your news, the top things that are happening right now, all the top news items that are happening right now. And you can go in and choose by category. You can look at information alphabetically. You can do a search. It's not extremely complete or extensive at the moment, but it's such a neat idea that I really wanted to tell you about it and take a look at it. And I've been using it occasionally now to get some neat things going on. And of course, one of the categories is tech, and you can look up what's the biggest things going on right now in the world of Ajax? And you go right into it, and you can find out and bring it up, and bang, there it is. And it's really nicely presented. It's kind of like being able to have somebody else's RSS feed in your browser, and you can look right through that. So that's going to be my one cool site of the week this week is going to be alltop.com. Check that out. Hey, next week we've got some good stuff coming up for you. In the next several weeks, like I said, I know I'm going to be playing for you interviews that I had with Fortinet, interviews we had with Quest. I've got Taglocity, the president and CEO, Dave from Taglocity, is going to be coming on. Taglocity was one of our cool sites of the week a while ago. We're going to have Mark Beer coming back up in the next month too, of course, Ion Security. We haven't heard from him in a while, and I am going to try and do a regular show with, if not Steven, somebody from Earlask who's going to give you far better cool sites of the week than I've been able to give you, and we'll go from there. And don't forget, check us out, techtalk.wrlr.fm, and Justin TV is back. Hey, send us an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm. Let us know what you think. Answer that geek trivia question. And right now it's going to be all the hits coming up with Jeff Davis and Zane. I got to tell you, though, it's a recorded show, so don't be calling in those requests. Just listen in, enjoy the show, and we will be talking to you again next week. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you.
Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same thing.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.